Let us turn now to Psalm 89 and at verse 47. Psalm 89 and at verse 47. Remember how short my time is, wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Remember how short my time is. And we were trying to consider these words on Sabbath morning, and we had two heads. The first was, we have only a short opportunity to find salvation. And then secondly, we have only a short opportunity to serve God. And let us particularly consider further what we have under the second head, the fact that we have only a short opportunity to serve God, bearing in mind the first matter, that we have only a short opportunity to find salvation. We are poor and needy. And so often people don't realize that. And so often people don't recognize that they must find Christ. And so often people do not take it to heart that they have only a short opportunity in which to find Christ. Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. And one thing we should be discouraged from in the light of God's word is the danger of putting off till a more convenient season the great matter of seeking salvation. And the passing of another year should make us consider that the length of our opportunity is now a whole year less than it was a year ago. May the Lord write these things in our hearts. Then, there's the second matter, that we have only a short opportunity to serve God. Now, those who are still unconverted may not think of the importance of serving God. They may have some sense, those who are under the preaching of the word, they may have some sense of their need to be converted before they die. And they gladly put off the need to seek salvation until, to quote Felix, till they have some more convenient season. They think about their own convenience. They think about themselves as having an indefinite amount of time in which to seek the Lord. But that's people deceiving themselves. And so often they slip into eternity without having ever begun to seek the Lord, in spite of the commandment or the call, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Now, I was trying to draw your attention on Sabbath morning under this second head of serving God by way of prayer. Now, one might think of particular areas of service that the Lord brings people into. The work of the ministry, the work of the eldership or the deaconship. Taking some part in the activity of societies, let us say, which aim to further the work of God's grace in this world. But, you see, every believer has a calling to pray, to spend time at the throne of grace, to be seeking the Lord on behalf of others as well as themselves, to be seeking the Lord in this short time that we have in this world. Now we need grace to serve God. We need, in a basic, fundamental sense, to have grace if we are going to pray in a right way, if we are to begin to pray in a right way. But we are to be seeking grace to pray. We're to be seeking the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of prayer, the Spirit to be working in our souls. How much we need that. And we should be, as it were, going to the throne of grace, that we might be able to go to the throne of grace. Now that might seem a little strange, but I'm trying to express our need of God's grace so that we might pray in an acceptable way, and that we wouldn't be sent away because we were seeking our own glory or something of that nature. And we might feel that we are not praying to the glory of God. There will be a degree of truth in that. And yet, those that have God's grace in their souls will, to some extent at least, be praying with an eye to God's glory. You see, every child of God, in one degree or another, will be praying to God's glory. Every child of God will be, in some degree, praying to God's glory. God hears their cries, however much they might see in themselves of what is unsatisfactory. But, you see, in this poor world, the children of God are poor creatures in this world of sin. And yet, the Lord who took them in hand and drew them to himself is continuing his work in their souls, bringing them on in that gracious secret way that he is able to do. And you see, wherever we see a need in our own lives, we are to be asking for God's blessing. Whenever we see shortcoming, I'm speaking generally just now, not in particular respects or particular sins, but in general ways, as this is the point I'm trying to stress just now, the matter of prayer. Now, there might be particular ways we go wrong in praying, and we need to ask that God would bless us by keeping us and advancing us, keeping us from doing what is wrong, and advancing us so that we will do what is right by his grace. But you see, there's a general matter of God giving grace to pray. There's a general matter of the Holy Spirit working in the heart of the believer so that he or she is beginning to pray in an acceptable way. Oh, this great matter, I think I mentioned it today already. God giving grace and God giving more grace. That's what we should be looking for. And in this matter of prayer, the people of God crying out to him because of the low state of religion, for instance, that the Lord would return and visit his vine, that vineyard which his own right hand planted as a man, and that same branch which for thyself thou makest strong to stand. We should be asking that the Lord would build up his cause. There was a woman, perhaps in the 50s, perhaps into the 60s, I didn't know it, who was confined to bed for perhaps 20 years, that she had been confined to bed for that period of time. But my understanding is that she was very much a woman of prayer. And if you were to ask, why was that woman left in such a feeble condition for such a long period of time, it might seem that she was quite unable to serve God. But no, she prayed. She prayed. And those who understood that could see why she was left. She was left in this world to serve God at the throne of grace. In other words, to serve God by pleading with him for an outpouring of the Spirit. I'm not quoting just now, I'm just referring to what very likely was the service, the subjects of her prayers, to ask for an outpouring of the Spirit, to ask for the devil's kingdom to be brought down, and so on. And yet, you would say, were that woman's prayers heard? Were they accepted? Or were they rejected? And I would believe that the answer is, they were accepted. They were not rejected. And that they are laid up before the Lord as very largely prayers that have yet to be answered. The Lord will yet answer the prayers of past generations and this generation, prayers which seem to have received no answer. God will yet be glorified in answering these prayers. Yes. So those who may be feeling that nothing is being achieved through the prayers that they're offered, do not be disheartened. Keep on praying. The Lord has a time when he will answer prayer, and it's the best time. It might need a good degree of faith to believe that that is so. But it is so. Now, another matter that I want to say something about in connection with a short opportunity to serve God is the matter of being a godly example. That has been referred to in prayer, and it has been referred to at the earlier service. And I'm going to quote from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where Paul is writing about the example that his people can show, the profit of being a godly example to others. Very often it will make no difference to other people. And there are times when it does make a difference. when God is blessed, is pleased to bless that example. Yes, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the apostle speaks of believers, whether in Corinth or elsewhere, being living epistles known and read of all men. Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, Ten Commandments, but in fleshy tables of the heart. What's he speaking about? Well, it's this. The influence of a believer in living a godly life, so that it's not the Ten Commandments written on stone or written on the pages of Scripture, but applying by the Spirit of the living God to the heart of believers. Applied to the hearts of rebels, so that they, by the work of the Spirit, are made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And that influence is repeated in the hearts of others who are influenced and are converted. The Lord works. The ungodly may be influenced. People coming to church and sitting in the pews of the same building, they may see particularly individuals, and they are godly, and they are transformed themselves, changed to be themselves living epistles known and read of others. And that's all under the hand of God. And that's all the result of God blessing the testimony that is to be seen in the lives of God's children, some more clearly than others. But you see, this matter of sinners being caused to read these epistles, isn't that service to God? Service acceptable, well-pleasing to God, when sinners shall have their eyes opened and are made able to draw conclusions from what they read in the lives of others. You see, a neighbor may be influenced when they read the evidence of grace, when they see the evidence of grace in the lives of others. There's evidence of the work of grace, and however it may be taken on from there, whether people might say with at least some degree of knowledge, we're all going to die. And we need, that woman is going to heaven. That man is going to heaven. And then they're forced to conclude, I'm not going to heaven. And if the Holy Spirit was pleased to bless them, having read that far in the life of some other person, then they may be constrained to take out their Bible, or even to get a Bible, to come to church, to begin to pray, to seek the Lord when he is to be found, to call upon him while he is near, to find grace for themselves. You might be saying, there's nothing I can do of service to God. Well, you're wrong. However poor you feel you are, however weak you may be, however poor you may feel your example is, there's bound to be something about it that with which God is well pleased. You see, there's service to God there. The people of God are not to be running down even to themselves, confessing their shortcomings to the Lord. They're not to go too far in saying what is lacking. They're not to say there's nothing there that God can use. They're not to say but that God may be glorified in using them as an example to others. Yes, however godly a person is, there's going to be shortcomings. But you see, we're to be asking the Lord to bless us, to make us a good witness before Him. Yes, now the thing is, we're to be earnest about this matter of serving God. We've only a short time. The passing of another year, the fact that one year has come to an end and another year has begun, is telling us about the shortness of time. Remember, the psalmist was asking, remember how short my time is. Then give me grace to serve thee. And perhaps we can go further back and say to those who are still unconverted, you may be young, and you say, I've got lots of time left. It's one of the devil's big lies, that you have loads of time you may not have. And it slips through our fingers very readily. But you see, it is unreasonable for us to think that we can slip into heaven at the last minute without seeking to do any good in this world. Yes. I mentioned the thief on the cross on Sabbath and indicating that he did some service. He did service to God in speaking well of Jesus Christ, in reproving the other man's sin. Yes, it was a short time, a very short time, obviously a short time, but this was the matter. He did serve God. And we should be thinking in terms of serving God, that it is important, that it is sinful to be saying nothing matters so long as I get into heaven at last. It's very likely, as the Lord sees it, a very God-provoking thought. Oh, let us be concerned when another year has past, and we had another year less to remain in this world. Let us remember, let us take it seriously, that we have very little time. Some of us, if we are of a certain age, or then if we haven't been converted, we have very, very little time to find salvation, to find Christ, to seek Him, to look to Him. But you see, only to think of that side of it, to think of being saved, that we might escape a lost eternity. It pays no attention to this, our duty to serve God, to do what He commands, to be obedient to Him. Yes. It's dishonorable to think only of our own salvation without thinking of our duty to serve God. Yes. We should be conscious of our need to get to heaven, but we should also be conscious that we are to serve God in this world. God who put it into the minds of Paul and Silas to say to the jailer, and perhaps they said it to many others in their life of service to God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. May the Lord bless his word to us.